Okay, so the evening, it's Yosef Bethoffer, and I was asked over the past few weeks to give a share on the topic of the internet Asifa, which took place in Citi Field a few weeks ago, and I didn't really know what exactly it was to give a share on, but I figured the last few days it struck me that I should give a share on the topic of how Rav Shamsa Paul Hirsch would have approached the issue of the internet and how to deal with it. And also, but serendipitously, I was kind of just found out today, tonight is Rav Shamsa Paul Hirsch's 204th birthday. So obviously there's Hashgacha Pratis there and having this year tonight. So in order to understand what Rav Shamsa Paul Hirsch would have said about the internet and the whole issue, again, as I said on my blog, I posted some sources. It's rygb.blogspot.com. And the first one is in English. It's from Rabbi Yosef Breuer. Rabbi Yosef Breuer was the Rav of Kahal Hadas Yeshurun, the German Kehila in Washington Heights. He was the founding rabbi. And his school was a school originally, not anymore, which is based on the principles of Torim Derech Eretz. So I would like to share with you this essay, which is relatively brief, about what happened in an ideal Torim Derech Eretz institution. And I'll read and I'll comment. The type of education and training of our youth, which bestows upon our Kehila and its Torah institutions, elementary school and high school for boys and for girls, medical seminary, their particular stamp of identity, has been frequently and exhaustively discussed the past issues of the Tailungun, however you pronounce that. That's their periodical. The growing evidence of a society's moral and spiritual decay cannot change our educational blueprint. On the contrary, it serves to underline the importance of our approach to an even greater extent. It's very important already, right now. In other words, there is a natural tendency when society is decaying to wagon and to limit education.
Could everyone else mute their microphones, please? There's a lot of static from people's microphones.
Okay. How do I do that?
Well, it's much better already. Our contemporary society is deeply affected by the prevalent lack of ethical values. Every area of living is involved. Uncontrolled pornographic literature, illustrated magazines, fashions, films, and television add their share. The frightening extent of the spreading decadence is especially noticeable in the institutions of higher learning, which no longer serve exclusively the cause of study and research. Now, this fascinating, it was written in 1968. It says on the bottom, it could have been written 40 years later with little change. We cannot isolate, but this is the key line. We cannot isolate our youth from these dangers which lurk everywhere. Theoretically, nothing but total isolation could eliminate this cancer. In order to be fully effective, such isolation would have to be maintained infinitely. A sudden entry into our contemporary society would have catastrophic results, which is very often what happens when people go off the derech. It's because they entered contemporary society very suddenly, without any preparation. The path of education and training charted by our Kehila and Yeshiva for our youth will prevail with the help of God, even at times such as ours. Our youth must be taught to remain aware of what it means to be a Jew, of the significance of divine Judaism, with its lofty nobility for our daily lives, of the special which our divine Judaism calls and obligates its sons and daughters. The hearts and souls of our youth must be imbued ever more strongly with the longing for Kedusha and Tara. Now, this really doesn't take place in any yeshiva that I'm aware of. It doesn't take place necessarily in any milieu which I'm aware of, any of these things, because usually what we learn is text. And when we learn text, it's just like we learn other texts. It's the only text, but it's a text. And this doesn't usually have the impact of teaching us what the what is divinity, what is divine Judaism, and what is Kedusha, what is Tara. as long as their lives must be motivated by the firm determination to labor ceaselessly as a fulfillment of the great task of Jewish self-education and spiritual self-perfection. Now, I want to stress that line, which is that at some point in all of our lives, we're going to have to educate ourselves and perfect ourselves. We're not in school. Most of us, I think, on this call are not in school anymore. We are, and even a shul or a spiritual mentor is something with which you're in contact a very limited amount of time, relatively speaking. At some point, everybody becomes responsible for really themselves for the overwhelming part of their lives. The truth is that even kids, for the most part, are not in school, but since everything is focused on school, therefore, it's not so much self-education and spiritual self-perfection, but really, once you leave school, once you leave yeshiva, that really is all it's about. Everybody's responsible for themselves. They will aspire towards the lofty Jewish pride, which provides total immunization against the corrupting influences prevalent in contemporary society. Wow, total immunization. That's pretty impressive. We'll have to speak about how that works a little bit later. School and home must work in close harmony in order to achieve this plateau of Jewish education. The precious environment of our kehila is an invaluable ingredient in this task. Profound Torah scholarship is most desirable. It cannot be attained by every student, but our divine Judaism calls everyone in its service. In other words, ideally speaking, everybody should be a great time of chacham. It's not going to be. It's not realistic. This community should be focused on great time of chacham, but not all, and not everybody can be. All of our youth, the learned as well as those whose scholarship is limited, are expected to prove themselves as proudly conscious sons and daughters of our people in the midst of the dangers of contemporary life. That word conscious is a very important word. Most of us go through life in an unconscious state. Even when we're doing, we're engaged in activity such as driving, we all know that we're really in a trance and not really conscious that much of what's going on. It's really very much on autopilot. And if we go through the streets of the contemporary city in the summer without being conscious of what's going on, so all sorts of things can go wrong with ourselves. A person has to know themselves and be conscious of themselves and their Jewish self before anything else can happen. Rabbi Avraham Elie Kaplan writes that before Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, prior to having Hashem in front of one's eyes, is Shivisi Atzmi Lenegdi Tomid. I have to have myself before my eyes. In other words, I have to pay attention to myself as a precondition for then paying attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm not concerned with myself, I'm never going to be concerned with Hashem. Continuing on, recently the magazine, The Jewish Observer, opened its comments to a discussion of the question of college attendance. I'm not sure they would have done that. They would have done that in their last years, but in 1968, I guess, it was still a legitimate issue for discussion. For our kehila and its educational philosophy, this question is not pertinent as long as we do not have our own institutions at the college level. In other words, they can't really make a college Altaras HaKodesh. In a letter to the editor, Dr. Eric Erlebach, a member of our kehila, accurately defined the attitude our kehila maintains towards the question of college education. Our youth need not and should not forego attendance at general institutions of higher learning, but it must be trained and fortified in order to be able to meet successfully the threatening dangers. This actually is something which is a big issue nowadays, as we see that many yeshiva-educated young men and women who go off to college, in college, become much, much less religious, if not leave the derech altogether, because they're not trained and fortified to meet successfully the threatening danger. Intensified occupation with the multi-branch areas of Jewish ideology is an urgent requirement in our educational institutions, mainly high schools based on Medrash and Teacher Seminary. Equally important is the organization in the framework of our kehila and under professional guidance of workshops and gathering of our mature male and female youth, especially for those who attend institutions of higher learning. Such a program will not only provide the vital social contact, but equally necessary will give the opportunity for free exchange of thoughts. Carefully planned and supervised activities of such a nature will undoubtedly help to strengthen the determination and ability of our youth to maintain their Jewish integrity in the face of adverse conditions. I'm not sure this was ever put into practice in America, such a program for Orthodox Jewish youth. Our sons and daughters will conceive in themselves as staunch and faithful members of our people. In ever-increasing measure, they'll become imbued with the lofty ideals of our God-willed life convocation. Sounds like a real Germanic term, whatever that means. They will draw pride and strength from the knowledge that from the beginning of Jewish nationhood, the Jew was taught to defend against the dangers which have always threatened the Jewish path of life. To be a Jew means to be a fighter. But as we are youth to become such fighters for our Jewish Torah ideals. And boy, this is not using the exact rhetoric, but it's important to note that once upon a time, there were movements. Now, a movement is a group of people who are trying to get from point A to point B. Hopefully, when it's about a Jewish context, you're trying to get from point A, which is lower, to point B, which is higher. Nowadays, there are very few movements, certainly very few idealistic movements. Nowadays, we have many, many organizations. Organizations are not meant to go from point A to point B, but rather to maintain point A. Maintaining point A is a surefire method for losing the battle, because if you're not going to try to progress, you're going to regress. I actually saw this recently, I believe it was in the Gruah. The Gruah says that, they tell us in Yeshiva that if you're not going up, you're going down. And I've always questioned that because I've seen many people on autopilot for many, many years, and they do basically the same thing for 30, 40 years, day in, day out. They don't seem to go down, even though they're not going up. But the Gruah says doing the same thing is going down. A person is, by definition, supposed to be a holech, a goer, somebody who goes from place to place. A person who's not going from place to place is, by definition, going down because you're missing the entire purpose of being a human being. So this is what Rabbi Yosef Breuer wrote in the 1960s. Now, I'm going to go to the Hebrew sources, and if I have on these pages, which I put onto the website and to my blog and on Facebook, certain paragraphs, circles or squares, as the case may be. And I want to explain a little bit about this book and what we're doing with it before we get into it. And this is a book, a sefer called Moria. Moria was written by Rabbi Dr. Joseph Breuer's brother, Rabbi Dr. Isaac Breuer. He was a very great idealist and ideologue in the mid-20th century. And he wrote this book of Moria in order to survey history from a Hirschian and a Turing Derech Eretz perspective. And in these pages, which I photocopied here, he's dealing with the emancipation. The emancipation, which took place in Europe in the early 1800s, was very similar to the advent of the Internet today. As a matter of fact, if we go through this first paragraph, which I have squared on 128, so the rhetoric is all very, very similar. And I'll read slowly and I'll translate. Starting from the word, the middle of the line, in the beginning of the line, we have the rectangle. At the time of the emancipation, there began the time of the direct debate between historia and meta historia, between history and meta history. In Dr. Breuer's perspective, we Jews are meant to come and imprint creation, which is history, with divinity, which is meta history. And the direct emancipation came at the time of emancipation. Before that, the Jews were closed off in a ghetto, and they did not come into direct contact. They were able to build up walls, But then the walls came tumbling down. Ben Amar Torah ben Umos Olam. Then came about the debate between the nation of the Torah and the nations of the world. The Token HaVikuach, what is the content of this debate? It is Hu Azeh Yachas. It's the relationship Ben HaYadus between Judaism Ubein HaEnoshius and humanity. Which is above nationalism. He wants to separate between national emancipation and social emancipation. Vayachas ben hayadus, the relationship between Judaism, Yashlomas ben ohadam, Aidei haskala, and the perfection of a human being through intellectual endeavor. The kasherem tsa'i ha'chashub yoseh shal haskala, and since the most important tool of intellectualism in Ramada is science. This debate also includes the relationship between Judaism and science. And this is something which is an issue on the internet today, when you have people like Rabbi Slivkin who are very much involved in setting the terms of that debate, and not necessarily setting the terms of that debate in ways which are acceptable to all of us. Kasher Amanus, also art, who neches yakar, is a precious property, vofyani, and a characteristic property, shal anoshius of humanity, kol vikuach gam etzayachas b'nei yahadus uvein ha'umanus. There also is a debate between Judaism and art. Art is also part of our lives, whether we accept it, whether we admit it or not. Everybody has a sense of the aesthetic, and Judaism has to imprint its ethical and moral perspective on the aesthetic as well. When they already appeared in the heavens of the Western economies, how capitalism in its early maturity, the debate also includes gamas hayachas, the debate between Judaism and between the craft of capitalism or the perspective of capitalism. And all of these debates began the minute before the walls of the ghetto fell down. What are we supposed to do at such a point in time? And going, I'm going to skip now to the top of page 129. Where he stresses, Korania Satnua Hazos, I call this movement Tuata Emancipitia, Emancipitia Socialis, the social emancipation, Migula Tnua Emancipitia, I can't even pronounce it, the Emancipitia Halumisha Devagra, as distinct from the national emancipation, which came afterwards. There is a whole separate issue, which goes into later on, comes about, which is about Zionism and nationalism within the context of Judaism and not within the context of Judaism. That, too, was a result of emancipation. What Dr. Breuer is saying here is let's leave that out for now. Let's try and focus on this notion of social emancipation, what we do with that. And he says that in the last three lines of this paragraph, he says, there was a total change of reality. The Mokom, instead, Sha'arata, of what was till now, Shomra Medinos, the nations of the world preserved Akiu Moshe Amiso, the ongoing existence of Amiso, they had Ger Begetto. They preserved us by keeping us in the ghetto. Nasu Akshav Yad, now they participated in promoting these Bolus Socialists, social assimilation. We flat these Bolus Tabutis, and especially in cultural assimilation, which of course is something which is rampant in our day and age, something which obviously many kids today and many adults have are completely assimilated in terms of civilization, meaning in terms of music, in terms of reading, in terms of thinking with the general society, without any self-critique. If it was done after self-critique, that would be one thing. but we're not educated to self-critique, and therefore we just accept it as is. And I'm going to skip the next paragraph. Basically, it tells us that there is a lot, which is attractive, is a lot of chokhmah bagoyim, a lot of wisdom.
Neil Harris.
Which were attractive, it continued to be attractive. It's not a simple matter to say that that is all goyish. That's very simplistic, oversimplified, and certainly not true, because there is chokhmah in all aspects of human endeavor, in all aspects of human accomplishment. So let's go now to page 135. Now I'm on page 4 of the 8 pages, which I put up on the website. And in the middle, he speaks very interestingly about Moses Mendelssohn, who was the first, the attempt to deal with social emancipation and his failures, and then Reform Judaism, which was another way of dealing with social emancipation, which was a failure in and of itself. Moses Mendelssohn remained an Orthodox Jew, but his approach failed Judaism, whereas Reform was something which was completely antithetical to Judaism to begin with. But that would take a long time to discuss, so therefore I'm not going to discuss it tonight. But rather, I'm going to go now to a discussion on 135, the rabbinical response to social emancipation, which is very similar to what happened today. And I'm going to start where I have the rectangle. In the middle of the line, which starts as Bnei Yehuda Kesher, B'makom Kesher, it talks about one of the things which are attractive about contemporary society is Chazon Henushios Ha'achida, the vision of unified humanity, Asher Ava V'Achva, that love and brotherhood, the reus and friendships, Hamakashos is Kobanel, that unite all of its children, and unity among peoples is a very powerful drawing card. Unity among people who are similar, even if they have different religions, is a very powerful thing. And this Yosef Midai was in effect that's too much. It pushed the younger generation in all its masses. Lazovis Hageto Atzar, to leave the narrow ghetto. Ulichones Bitocheles, and to go with yearning, Hotzeres Bara Nishima, which is breathtaking, the Tocham Chadash to the New World. Loe Vin Hadore Yashon Et Olam Chadash. The older generation did not understand the New World. It's interesting, my wife told me that Dr. Pelkowitz, and why you says, I don't know if it's his idea, but it's calling somebody else, that anybody who was born before the 1990s is like an immigrant in a new world, because we were born in a different world, and therefore we are immigrants, whereas the next generation are natives in this world. So therefore there is certainly a generation gap. Although the immigrant tries to be like the native, he can never quite get it. So the older generation does not necessarily, and certainly the generation that was born in the 30s and 40s, does not quite get the new generation. Therefore, had no possibility of debating the younger generation. Pitom, suddenly, opened a horrific gap between the two generations. Belave kula with a torn heart, murtach, and a boiling heart. Rohadori Yashon, the older generation, saw esbanot, its children, noagim bizayon, conducting themselves with degradation, b'chol kodesh Yisrael, against all the things which Israel held holy. Ma hayom mi yomayim. What happened today that is different? Ma yeruach ha-chadoshim shechzikah b'yad l'yadodim. What is this new spirit which sees the children? Ruach shomeret v'chutz shechutzpah. A spirit of rebelliousness and of chutzpah. Shokalus rosh, of frivolity, v'sheltaiva, and of lust. It's amazing how these things don't change over the years. Even though we think it's new, the concerns are always the same from the older generation to the younger generation. Sivu bikshu, they commanded and requested these kind of new and pleaded, ubaku and cried, these biu and swore, Matsua's Naim Arelot, and they found deaf ears. Vayecha Dar Yashan Lamus, and the older generation just died away. Va'rabbanim, and the rabbis, Didolei Yisra, Ba'agosha Niflo, with a tremendous sensitivity. Hirgishu, they felt Mi'ayom HaRishon from the first day as Kol Gola Sakona. The entire greatness of the danger. Gam Shmiras HaMitzvos, Shal Mendelssohn, the fact that Mendelssohn was a Torah true Jew, of his Yuso and his care in Halacha, Van Vanusonuso and his humility, Losin Beroa Seinem, did not blind their eyes. Lo Yismamu Lamod Beperet, they did not tarry to stand in the breach, V'chol Milchemes Hashem, to fight the war of Hashem. Ichrimus Targum Mendelssohn. They put Mendelssohn's translation of the Tanakh into German, into Cherem. They were about books to put into Cherem back then as well. Ichrimus Batei HaSefer Shem HaSaknim. They put into Cherem the schools of the reformers. Ichrimus Kamaram HaTaknim is still the same. They put into Cherem the ministers of the reform and their tefillos, their davening. Asru Kol. I'm turning now to page 136. They forbade any engagement in external matters. Isnagdu, they were opposed. Begalui, outwards, uvitzinan, inwards, l'emancipatia socialis, to the social emancipation altogether. Beloi tzlichu, but they were not successful. Uvuleif, karua, mertach, with they too, with their ripped and boiling hearts, tochu gam heim lamus. They also went to die. Very strong words Dr. Burr uses here. The rabbi seized on to the reality of yesterday, which was not today's reality. Yesterday's reality was completely Torahdik. That's true in the ghetto. The reality of today and of tomorrow has not yet been prepared for Torah. Actually, we're much better off in that respect. They were back then because we seem to have found unprecedented opportunity for Torah learning in our time. By Isnadul and Metzius HaKadosh, they were opposed to the new reality. By Imsurus Nafshom and Metzius HaYashona, they gave up their lives, their Moshe Nefesh, to the old reality, on Hashona, the ancient one. But, and this is a beautiful line, Achein, however, Raka Torah Hinitzris, only Torah is eternal. Below Hamitzius and not reality. Hamitzius Holeches Umischalefes. Realities go and they change. But Torah Liolam Amedes. And the Torah which remains forever. So he Kiru Akas Hamitzius says, well, but they only recognized reality of yesterday. Matosah Torah sees the Gamri. And they found completely Torahic. There's Hamitzius Hachadosha Lohi Kiru. They did not recognize the new reality. The Rakobu, they just determined, Shekomi Shinifas Besocha, anybody as a new reality, your Rav Zimion has gone down into the abyss and is lost. It's not Zulim Tzius HaKadosh, they were against the reality. Kashem Tzius HaKadosh, and since new reality, I saw Totsu'ah HaKrechis was the compelling result, compelling is the wrong word, perhaps, it's the necessary result. Shogrim historian Kalim of general historic trends. Roll up your number of applause. They could not cancel it. The same way the internet could not be canceled today. You cannot take it away. You can't go back to pre-internet times. You couldn't go back then to pre-emancipation times. It was not, the reality had changed definitively and permanently. But Tivlam Tius HaKadosha, so therefore, since they refused to deal with the new reality, the new reality swallowed Esadora Tzair, the younger generation, Kimat Atumo, almost until it was completely eradicated. Ativla HaMetzius Ayishona, and the old reality swallowed Esklam HaChazikim Ba, swallowed up all those who held to them, the damn ushers with their despairing hands, Kasher Yodokim, when it went down into that destruction. And this is the key, the next paragraph. They only saw the dangers of the social emancipation. They did not see the powerful spiritual forces in Western Europe. which brought the nations as one. Liftach Hashara Ghetto, to indeed open the gates of the ghetto, for the saints by Yehudim to give the Jews, Jesus Reil B'Sochon, a capacity to walk among them. Lo Roshe Bayat Emancipatio, you can see that the problem of the
emancipation. Yosef Gavriel Beckhofer.
Social emancipation, Lo Yisrael Rak Bayar Yudis Primis, is not just an internal Jewish problem, El Bayar a Peace Kalis, but a general European problem, Hamkusheris Bekeshramis Vimahalach Haruach Hairopis, which is integral to European spirit. And today, the internet is integral and is a part of, inseparable part of American culture. And once upon a time, European culture ruled the world. Whether that was better or worse than American culture is an interesting question, but not for now. But today, American culture rules the world. American culture is something which we live in, not just in America, but throughout the world. There's no escaping it. It must be dealt with. You can't actually get away from it. And this was always, it's not necessarily always a negative thing. And I want to read the more inside of this paragraph because it's already late. But there is a lot which we can see and take from the social emancipation, which is positive. And this gets down to the page 137 at the bottom, again, the fifth page of the handout. Shamsha Polhersh, this is a quote from Shamsha Polhersh. Ani mevarech es emancipatio, I bless the emancipation, ach v'rak only, in Yisrael Mekabla, if the Jews accept it, lo kigmar tafkidon, like the end of its task, meaning that we brought our light to the nations of the world, and once we brought our light to the nations of the world, and they too have seen granted social freedom and recognized the brotherhood of mankind, so therefore we've done our task. No, exact chadashu tafkido. It's a new side of its mission. Can you say yon chadash, a new test? Asher hu arbe yoser kosher, meaning yisino shlachas shibud, which is much more difficult than the test of the oppression of the ghetto. Omnom ayisim Isabel, I would indeed be mournful in the Banan. If Jews no longer knew and no longer analyzed, they lost their original spirit. To bless the emancipation like the end of Golus. As an end purpose, so to the soldiers of their historic destiny. Let us get up and be Jews. In the complete meaning of the word, chadurei ruach haTorah, suffused with the spirit of Torah, kimakor chayenu as the source of our life. V'oz gam ruach hayadus tivarech b'simcha es emancipatia. Then the spirit of Judaism will bless with happiness the emancipation. Kidach yoser makifa as a more enveloping manner. L'maloses yishoseh shal haTorah. To fulfill the requirements of the Torah, and to fulfill its manner of life. Now, what he goes into after this, the sixth page handout, as I said, it's getting late, so I'm going to read less inside than I originally planned to, is that the idea of Torim Derech Eretz, as presented by Rav Shamsha Vol Hirsch, is that the Torah is not just the Torah of the base Medrash, or the Torah of small peddlers and moneylenders of the Middle Ages, but it's the Torah of a light of the Torahic industrialist, the Torahic lawyer, the Torahic artist. In other words, life in this world is really much more complex than it was in the ghetto. The ghetto was an aberration; it was a very narrow life. And it was very narrow, and the Torah was not permitted to accomplish the full scope of its capacity to uplift and bring the nobility and refinement to the world. The emancipation brought far more opportunities to manifest and demonstrate that Torah affects and uplifts and has what to say and how to deal with all matters of Derech Eretz, whatever they are, any way of the world. And this is the only way to which with which one can actually approach a broader spectrum of possibilities is to find the way the Torah impacts and speaks to and has engages with all those possibilities, with all those realities. And that is what Shem Shavuos meant at the bottom of page 139. I don't think I actually have a rectangle here, but this is as he says, that's what Shem Shavuos meant. He said, Kumu v'niyeh Yehudim, let's get up and be Jews. Yehudim b'mlo muvan amila, with the in total meaning of that word. Chadurei ruach ha-Torah kimchor chayenu, suffused with the spirit of Torah as the source of our lives. Not Jews and who are contingent on a specific reality, not Jews who are can only deal with a specific environment and habits, no. And on the other hand, not Jews who are drunk with European culture or the ones who are great fans of European science or people who see their craft in this world as their primary existence. No, it is the merger of Torah and the world, which emancipation allowed us to seek and pursue. And he brings down later, again, it's getting late, some reading less inside than I wanted to, but on page 141, he brings down the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and then later on he brings down his grandfather, Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch's famous interpretation of it, which is different than everybody else's interpretation. And he says that this, with this, we can understand between the old reality and the new reality. It says that somebody who's Mahalik Baderek, who's walking down the road, and he's maps and he's learning, and he interrupts his learning, and he says, Manoa Ilan Zeh, how beautiful is this tree? He's Nischaya Benapsho. He's liable for death. That's the simple sign of the Mishnah. If you interrupt your learning to admire the tree, then you're worthy of dying. He says that actually was the status in the ghetto. In the ghetto, there was only Mishnah. There was no aesthetic. The aesthetic was outside the ghetto. And somebody who would pursue the aesthetic would be leaving the ghetto, and he'd be leaving his reality, and he'd be leaving the Torahic environment, and he would be Mishchayev ben Nafsho. He would be liable to death. But Rav Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch gave a different pshat to that Mishnah. Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch gave a pshat, actually, he brings down on the next page, on page 147. He brings down that Rav Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch said that somebody who, for whom looking at a tree and admiring its aesthetic is an interruption in his learning, that person is worthy of death. In other words, if the aesthetic of the tree is not in seamless harmony with your learning, then that's his chai benafsho. Then that person, he cannot survive in the reality of our world, in the world outside the ghetto. In other words, whereas inside the ghetto one could distinguish, and one was compelled to distinguish because of the non-Jewish pressure between the Torah and aesthetic, Torah and music, Torah and secular pursuits, outside the ghetto, it has to be part of, incorporated. It could not be seen as a hefsek to admire the tree. It has to be part and parcel of one's learning. And that is what he says on the bottom of page, I think it's the wrong page number four, bottom of page 142, which is the page 8 of the last page of our handout. And he says, Sona Einecha, uplift your eyes, Lateva, to nature, Mibli Lati Mishnah Secha, without interrupting your learning. Rea Sateva, see nature, Kasher Roso, Dovi Amalkeinu, Alav Hashom, the Barchinashi. Like David Amel said, sees it in Tehillim 104. And the Birnbaum Siddur says in the introduction that the German poet Herder said it was worthwhile learning Hebrew just in order to read Barchinashi in the original. As we say this on Rosh Chodesh, and we say it very, very quickly at the end of davening, because it's already late if we say it at all. But it's an extraordinarily beautiful depiction of nature and natural history. All of nature is the choir of Avdei Hashem. Asosim will rejoice, let's make him happy, lasos tom konam to do the will of the Polyamis. To as trustworthy workers of Hashem. The Rakata and only you, Ba Rasan Khoshi, the man of free will, Telech Bashus Bibhal Kavat Nabshekha, you can't learn from nature to follow the Rasan Hashem, that you want to follow the license of your heart and the desires of your soul. Only you stand deliberately at a distance. And not to participate in the choir of Avdei Hashem. Kim Shorori shown like its first songwriter, David HaMelech. You have no other mission in this world. Other being the first servant among other servants of Hashem. Hayadusu Torah Eved Hashem Baruch Hu. Adam Yisrael. I skipped that before. It was a famous correlation in Hershey and Thor between Mensch Yisrael. And with this, he explains there's a Gemara, which is always taken as a problematic one, where it says, Atem Krim Adam, the Enumus Olam Krim Adam. You are called Adam, and the nation of the world are not called Adam. So he says, Dr. Breuer, what makes Torah is what makes a human a human. The ultimate humanity is accomplished by a Torah perspective. Torah is not separate from humanity. It is how one becomes a human. And finally, the last thing I wanted to see inside is the beginning of the segment on page 143. Is Haneos Lios Abdo Rishon Baruch Hu. Are you prepared to be the first servant of the Creator within the choir of his servants? Hakarta, do you recognize? Shenkan Sav Latsav, a little bit here. There's a quote from a pasuk in Yeshaya. Kav Lakav, a line here, a line there. Zer Sham, a smidgen here, a smidgen there. El Yesh Kantachniso Olam. The world is holistic. They're not disparate elements. Everything goes together. And you, there is a purpose to the world. Asharata ba rosan hachavshi. Do you recognize that you, the master of free will, nikreso lo tzia la poal, have been called to bring it out into reality, into activate it? Kishutav ashaboy baruch hu, as the partner of Hashem. Hashamatas ko akim misalech began bateva. Did you hear the voice of Hashem going through the garden of nature? Adam ayeka. Man, where are you? So, the one more line actually. Have you stood back from the rebellion of humanity to be like God in the sense of knowing good and evil? So then, if that's the case, let's lift your eyes to the history of mankind, the Lemer Darsheni and its second rebellion. Which is not the one who's shame to make for ourselves a name. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to bring the shame Hashem into creation. So, what all these sources which I went through this evening are indicate what the which I believe Rav Shlomo Zalman Hirsch's approach would be, and I believe the only realistic approach is to any form of modernity at any time in history, but certainly to the current form of modernity, which is the danger of the communication, world communications, the internet, all those things. What has to be done is authentic Torah approaches towards using it, L'shem Shamayim, because it has become integral part and parcel of human life in the 21st century, have to be pursued and developed. But besides that, there has to be movements, meaning, like Rabbi Breuer said at the beginning, people who get together to be mechazik each other, whether it's one-on-one, or whether it's 100 and 100, or whether it's thousands and thousands, who feel that together we are aspiring to tackle in a positive manner the world in which we live, the new reality, which changes all the time, and impose Torah on reality as opposed to putting Torah into a box and saying that it cannot deal with reality. That's something which is very different, and that's why Hirschian Judaism is perhaps a much harder way of living than other forms, because you have to figure out how things can be with Hashem Shemayim. You can't just push them away. You have to figure out how to live in this world as opposed to just pushing the world away. You have to figure out how a person can be a refined and good person and be Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim in all things that a person does. That approach, I don't know if it ever really succeeded throughout Judaism. I don't know. Eastern Europe didn't adopt it. The Sfarim didn't adopt it. And Eretz Yisrael never got off the ground. But that, I think, is eventually the way things must go. We're being pressured by Hashem to go in that direction. And Rabbi Shlomo Breuer, the father of both Rabbi Yitzchak and Dr. Isaac and Rabbi Yosef Breuer, said that he's convinced that only through Torah Derech Eretz will the Geula come. And I think that that's true, because the whole idea of the Geula, since we paskin that there's no difference between our day and age and the times of Mashiach, that the things will be the same then as they are now, so that means that there really is no distinction in life, in reality. The only question is how to know how to impose Torah on reality. I think the Rambam ends with that pasuk, the metaphorical pasuk, that the time of Mashiach will be a time when Mala Aret Deos Hashem Kamayim L'Yam Chasim. The world be full of knowledge of Hashem like the water covers the sea. Of course, it doesn't mean the water covers the sea, but looking at it metaphorically, it means that Torah spread everything.
Why?
As an overlay, which is changes everything and uplifts everything. That's what Mashiach is, and that's what brings to Mashiach. It's hard to deal with questions on a conference call, but if anybody has any questions they want to ask, we'll try our best. I know it's late.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
This is Ian Nigel. I have a question in regards to what you said at the end here and also at the beginning in terms of moving from organizations to a movement, and in relation to the fact that the approach, as you correctly mentioned, historically has been one that many would argue has not been successful, and many argue the definition of Torah Derech Eretz. So my question is, when having a discussion for those people who will even sit down and have a discussion, when it comes to a larger hashkafa behind the asifa or the nature of the asifa itself, and you try to speak to people about some of the ideas that you raised in the shir, many people bring up the fact that, well, Rav Hirsch's approach didn't work, and Torah Derech Eretz was for a different time period. So my question is, do you have any practical suggestions for creating a movement, as you were saying, and one that you could use to engage people and who would normally go against you, to join them to the movement? Is it even worth engaging? Is it worth separating? Is it have to be done by like-minded individuals in the form of creating their own institutions or organizations? How do you engage a community without separating yourself completely from them?
That question is actually something which I can't answer. Right? There's no answer to that question. First of all, it's very broad, and it deals with a lot of sub issues which you raise. But I think that actually is one of the things which the internet does in a positive way, is it brings like-minded people together and enables them to actually contemplate, like we did, like hopefully we did a little bit tonight, how to, in fact, deal in a positive, constructive way with things as opposed to the other alternatives which don't seem to work. So I'm not going to try tonight to give a grand vision. I'm not sure it's my place to do that. To give a grand vision of what should happen. I think we have a lot of visionaries, even in this conversation, including yourself, and something which we should brainstorm together as opposed to me giving an answer.
I just want to ask the follow-up, I mean, taking everyone else's time, if there would be a way to continue. I know this is a series that you perform on the internet with the Shirim and through a conference call, but if there would be a way to, specifically on this topic and related matters, to create some sort of forum for dialogue on contemporary issues, whether it's in the form of a shiur or an idea. I think maybe if we can move it from this shiur into some sort form of organization, I would suggest if you'd be open to that, and maybe you could go out to other members of this group to try to at least start in that sense.
Yeah, I know Rav Gershon Seif, well, I don't know if he's on the phone call or not.
I'm here, yeah.
Has started a website. Do you want to tell us what the URL is for that?
Yeah, it's RSRH, the number 4, ALL, .com.
I think maybe we should gravitate to that website.
Well, so far there's no comments open because I don't have the time. Now it's just me going through the Chumash very carefully and slowly and making easy summaries, and it'll be sortable and searchable. Right now I'm only 25 pages into Bereshis, so it's very new.
Okay. So I guess we'll try and maybe communicate again. I see I have a record of who's on the call by phone numbers, not by names necessarily, though I have some names here in front of me. Perhaps if everybody who's interested could put a comment on my blog on the last post with the post which has the sources for tonight's shiur, so then we could take it from there and see what would be the next step.
Okay, thank
comments
you.
With suggestions.
I would love that, personally.
Okay.
I think we all could use a... Maybe once a month, if it's too much to do weekly, but once a month, something like this on this very topic would be a big chizuk for everybody.
Okay,
absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so again, if everybody could go to that to the post and put a comment, man, maybe if you could you could send me a personal email if you feel uncomfortable leaving a public comment. And Israel Yomar Chazak, we'll see what we can do.
Amen.
All right, have a good night and good Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You too.